You'll know today's guest from Virgin Media's 6 o'clock show's Kitchen and from being a social media sensation. Watching her cook makes my mouth water and gives me all the feels. It's the fabulous Maria Hart. Maria, you're so welcome to Unfiltered Podcast.
Thanks for having me, Sarah.
But I just have so many memories of you cooking and always having like your dinner dates.
Oh, yeah.
Back in the day. Tell us where this all came from.
Oh, my God. Like, I've been obsessed with food for as long as I can remember. It has been like, if you ask me about a holiday when we were 12, I'll be able to tell you what we were eating. And I'll probably still be able to recreate that dish that I ate in that particular restaurant. It's insane. So like, it started out, my mum and her best friend Paula were always obsessed with Delia. And so like, Delia is like my OG. She is the queen of the kitchen in my eyes. And so there was always like a Delia book out on the table, or like Doreen Allen, Simply Delicious, just a little nub of butter. And then at the same time, my dad used to fish and he used to shoot and everything. So as kids, we'd go out in Loch Ool and like he'd catch a trout. And then we'd be home around the kitchen table, like Westmead Examiner out on the table, trout and like our little paws in, like pulling the guts of the fish out and filleting it. And then, you know, mama cook it. So I remember being like, I don't know, like 13 or something. And like from there, and then I went on, and my home ec teacher was really in school. My home ec teacher was really like encouraging and supportive of it. And there was like little cookery competitions and all the rest. And she'd be like, go for it, Maria. And like, that's kind of it. Like, you just need a little few hype people in your corner. And
yeah. Oh no, you so do. And I love the way you mentioned there about your dad like bringing you fishing onto Loch Ool. I think those kind of memories are so important to people in general. But I think for you to have that, and then, you know, literally you're going fishing, then you're cooking the trout that you're after catching.
Oh yeah, it's such a respect for food from when you were younger. And like, don't get me wrong, like, we were kids. Like, at the same time, we'd be like, oh my God, not freshly caught salmon and trout again. But now, like, what I wouldn't do for it, I swear to God.
Yeah.
Once I got the bug for cooking, I was like, what else can I do with these ingredients?
So when do you think you actually got that bug? Like, when, like, what age around?
I'd say transition year, I got really, really into it.
Okay.
So it kind of just went from being an interest and wanting to learn to becoming fully obsessed. And when I say fully obsessed, sir, I mean I have seen every episode of Rick Stein, every episode of Keith Floyd, every episode of Delia, every episode of The Two Fat Ladies, my favorites, as well as Delia, obviously. But like, and then it went on, and I would just test, and I drag my dad into, like, there was a little like deli in Mullingar at the time, or like into like all the different supermarkets. I'd give my mum like a shopping list of specific ingredients that I needed, because I wanted like an Aladdin's cave of ingredients, because my mind was just blown at, you know, all the different possibilities of what you can put together to make different flavors.
Yeah.
And then for my 18th birthday, I asked for, there's like, anybody that's into food will know, there's this ridiculously big book called LaRue's, and it's like an encyclopedia of all the classic French recipes. So I asked for that and a full set of Victor Knox knives. And that was my 18th birthday present.
I'm laughing because I remember your 18. That's hilarious. I didn't know that's what you got.
Yeah.
You were proper obsessed, though, Marie, weren't you?
Like, properly obsessed. Like, I went forward for Borbia's Young Chef of the Future competition. Yeah, like, it was just something that I always loved doing. But then, like, I'm not afraid to say it, like, I was a bit spoilt. Like, I was a bit of a princess back in the day.
Back in the day,
not
to this day.
But like, you know, working in a restaurant was never the lifestyle I'd seen for myself, but I couldn't quite figure out what the path was. But then everything kind of came to a halt. So anybody who knows me, when I was 17, the rug got pulled from underneath my feet and my dad died. And he was like a huge like hype person for me. And, you know, I was a real daddy's girl, like real daddy's girl. And so I was like, what's going to make him most proud now? So I just put all my energy into my leaving cert. And I was like, I'm just going to go and do commerce in UCD, because that's what you do. And I literally just put everything to one side, kind of to make him proud. But like, it was always there. Like my friends in college would be like, you had no more interest in coming to college. You just wanted us all over for like Pancake Tuesday with like a full on spread. And like, we'd be like, oh, we'll have drinks in my apartment first. And he'd go over to my apartment and there'd be full on canapes like in college.
Marie, that's so all I wanted to do. But like, I was literally going to get to that, being like, of like what made you actually go into cooking, because I was just about to say that's not what you've done in college.
No, and it's not what I do. No. People see me and even my kids are like, Mommy, I want to stay at home with you because all you do is do cooking videos all day. And I'm like, no, I don't.
Like a real
I work
job.
In marketing. This is just my hobby. I would say like some people play golf. I just cook. Yeah. Like that's my hobby.
It's fair enough. But I think that's really interesting though that you were so into cooking and you were working in a restaurant. And then when you said that your dad passed away, that you were like, this is what I want to do. I want to make him proud. Because your dad was a businessman, right?
Yeah, absolutely. So like my goal was always one day I'm going to work for myself. Right now I'm too hurt. I'm not ready, because I was only a child when he died. So like, you know, it was really tough. So I kind of got stuck in child mode and like fear of flight and all the rest for so long. But like in the back of my head was always like, I'm going to do something by myself one day. Like I'll go and I'll learn from others and, you know, learn business by working in businesses and end up being working in marketing, because that's the most creative side of business. So that's why I was drawn to it. But it just, life just happened. Like all of a sudden you're in your 20s, you're having fun. Then all of a sudden you're like, you're working in your like first job. And then before I knew it, like I was in the Black Door and bumped into my future husband. And then we got married and had kids. It wasn't until that point, till we had the kids, that I like realized, hold on, you are missing something just for you here. Because you give so much, you know?
Yeah. So I feel like in general though, anyone who is a chef or anyone that cooks is a really kind-hearted, giving person and usually puts everyone else first. Like I feel like that's literally you to the core.
Thank you.
Yeah, no, I really do. And I think as well, like, you know, you were saying you went off to college there. Do you think that you would have done something else had your dad not passed away at that time?
I don't know. I was thinking about this. Like, it's hard to tell.
Yeah.
I don't think I would be the person I am today. I don't think I wouldn't be as resilient. Maybe I wouldn't believe in myself and go for things as much, because at the end of the day, like I do have my mum and I love her and I ring her every 2 seconds to see, you know, what does she think about X, Y, and Z. But you kind of just have to go for it. It's kind of like you kind of get pushed from the nest a little bit.
Yeah.
You know, and that has kind of stood to me. And I probably, instead of, like, there's been a flip in my mentality. So in them initial years when I went to college and all the rest and was, like, trying to get a good career and, you know, be the biz, right?
Yeah.
That, like, that was me trying to make him proud, do you know? Yeah. Like, marketing is good and it's creative and I love it and I'm really good at it.
Yeah.
But at the same time, I'm like, no, what's going to make me proud now? Do you know, so I've kind of flipped the script a little bit and it's like, what do I want in the world? Like, and that is going to leave me happy, leave the people around me happier, leave my little piece of the world better than how I found it. Everybody was always asking through the years, when are you going to do something with food? Like it was always the way, and I'm like, it's not the right time, it's not the right time. But like your gut instinct is so strong.
Yeah.
That like, I don't know if it's like a female thing, if it's, you know, whatever it is. But I knew it was there and it would come to me, but I just had to give it space and just let it come naturally.
Yeah.
And then it just did. It was kind of like, right, Maria, onto Amazon, order that tripod and work with what you have. And I remember sending my mom and my sister the most awkward picture of me standing in my kitchen holding a can of Coke, like absolutely squishing the can, like I've just taken a picture of myself. Who do you think you are? Let's just send it to, like, you know, to the Holy Trinity, as my husband calls us. But like, And then from there, I just started. Like,
yeah, and I remember when you did and you started doing, I remember just being like, she's just going for it. You started doing your lives. Mm. And you're like, oh, come join me. Like, it's probably just going to be like me and my sister there. Thanks. Mm. And then all of a sudden, like, you just started to gain so many followers. Like, yeah. And but I think you were really consistent, though, with your content. Mm. So what do you think about being consistent? Because it's such a word you hear on social media all the time. Be consistent. Yeah.
So consistency is, like, possibly the most important part to succeed at anything. Let's just say, right? But if you take Instagram, the algorithm in particular, like, you have to be consistent, like picking a particular day, like going out. So say, for example, at the minute, like, I'll post Sunday to Friday and that's it. And then I'll take 2 days off. Right. But like, you can be consistent and just put absolute rubbish out there. But I wouldn't be happy with that. Like, I'm a perfectionist within my own vision. And nobody else knows what that vision is apart from me. So like, people will say to me, oh, just put any video out there, Maria, or like whatever it is, or like, everybody wants a spice bag recipe. I don't like spice bags. I think they're disgusting.
They're not right? for you.
They're not for me. Like, I love Chinese, don't get me wrong.
Yeah.
But at the same time, I'm not going to put something out there that you're not going to see the passion behind my eyes. And I am a cook. I love food. I love putting creative recipes together. I also am neurospicy, as I like to call it, right? So ADHD, right? And that means that I think very differently about things, right? So I'm not going to put up, it wouldn't be like me to put up, say, a recipe for mashed potato.
Wait, now, what do you mean you think differently about things?
I have to, my brain works, so I have to think in a roundabout way to make something make sense for me, right? So let's just take a very classic example of making something. Mashed potato.
Sorry, I'm totally talking over here. No, and only because, so did you say you have ADHD? Mm. Oh, you do, okay. Yeah. Sorry, I literally just got lost in it.
Right.
Okay, so you have ADHD. Okay, let's talk about that.
Okay, so basically I've got a bit of a neurospicy brain, which I call it, but I have inattentive ADHD, right?
Okay.
And to anybody out there who's like, not another one, who is ADHD, actually, do you know what? There's, back in the day, girls were not diagnosed. Okay. So it's not that everybody now has it. That's the most annoying thing to say. And don't ever tell me to make a list, because that does not help. It's just that there's more awareness now and people are going forward and getting diagnosed. And then they're figuring it out that the way that they've been all their life is because of this, right? And so I was like, why do you always have to do things like arse ways, Maria, for want of a better word, right?
Okay.
So when I apply this to my recipes, it's actually really interesting, because it turns out with different recipes than the norm, I won't engage with anything that's not authentically me. And that's where I'm really consistent with. I do think, though, that I can cook on average a better meal than like the majority of places that you get something out.
Okay.
Do you know, like, so I rarely go out for dinner, but when I do go, I'm going to go somewhere really nice that I know that they've taken the time and like honed their skills over years and have created something beautiful.
Looking for a meaningful career? Perhaps you have a natural love for helping others. Perhaps you looked after a friend or family member. A career in home care can be very fulfilling. Home Instead have full and part-time positions. Training and support will be provided. Search Home Instead Careers or visit careers.homeinstead.ie.
Home Instead, to us it's personal.
Can we go back to your ADHD, because I find it very interesting. Mm-hmm. From the sense of you mentioned there that people would say like, oh, not another one. And I actually read something recently on Instagram. It was like a quote saying, instead of saying something like that, oh, not another one, can you not look at it from the perspective of like, how did we fail so many people in the past that we overlooked it, or we just didn't give them a diagnosis?
Absolutely.
And I was like, oh, wow. I was like, I just didn't look at it like that.
No, they're always just the slightly weird one, or like in my case, the overly sensitive one. Maria's in La La Land. Like, Hello, all the signs were there.
So when did you get diagnosed then?
About 2 years ago. So I'm still navigating my way through life unmedicated because it's really hard to get an appointment to get it. So, and it's very expensive.
Okay, so this is a lot deeper. I've been honest, I have no knowledge of this.
That's almost the important thing, right? Yeah. So like having the conversations and being like willing to kind of go, oh, Maria, so how does that affect you?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Like, I think, oh, yeah. So some people might then go, oh, yeah, but I do that. But you might do that sometimes, like lose your keys. But whereas if you lose your keys 5 times a week, like you're going to start questioning whether you're going mad and calling yourself thick. And imagine doing little things like that over your entire life, or feeling like you've overreacted or being overly sensitive to feedback, usually from somebody that you love, or, you know, little things like somebody not being in the mood for a chat or whatever, and you get overly sensitive to that. Like, there's a lot of like internal stuff that goes on.
Okay.
And it's like, it's not that losing your keys is hard. It's that losing your keys as an example.
No, that's
right?
Fine.
That like it's losing your keys repeatedly.
Okay.
Or like missing appointments repeatedly makes you appear to the outside world as chaotic or as, you know, scatty, or my mum used to call me Clotty Kitty, you know?
Like,
okay. But you just can't help it. It's like saying, Maria, you're really clotty, or Maria, you're really
Would you get offended
messy.
If somebody said that to you?
Well, I would, to be honest. It depends on the person, right? So if they were saying it in like a jokey way, but I knew they were accepting of me, I'd be like, oh yeah, I'm really sorry you have to deal with that. Or like, oh yeah, yeah, I'm going to drive myself bananas. Or, you know, I'd give that kind of response.
Okay.
But if it was in a different setting, say for example, I don't know.
Like your sister maybe.
Like my sister. Or if it was like, if it was noted in a professional setting or whatever it might be. Like if I was doing something for a brand and they said it, they were like, oh my God, you're a bit all over the shop with your timelines, aren't you? Then I'd be like, oh my God, I'm so sorry.
So why did you, or how did you get diagnosed then?
I got diagnosed, it's really interesting because I got diagnosed after I had my second child. And what happens with women, right?
Okay.
So I'm no expert in this, but I have been dealing with it, you know, pretty much all my life. And I've been looking at it for the last 2 years, trying to figure it out, right? So I got diagnosed after I had my second child. And basically what happens is that women are so like emotionally intelligent and we're great at doing stuff. So all of our lives, if a girl has got ADHD, what we tend to do is mask, which means that like we pretend we're okay and we keep up with society and we, you know, do what's expected of us and all the rest. But then maybe at home, like things fall apart. Like my bedroom was like always a mess. I was overly sensitive and everything. But you're masking, you're trying to fit in all your life. But then when you get to a certain point in adulthood, the level of responsibilities and demands on you are so high that you can't mask anymore. So all of a sudden, like your window of tolerance for what you're like able to deal with as an ADHD person is like a little bit smaller than others, right? So obviously it varies. Everyone's different. So you just kind of go, can't deal with this. Bing, I'm overstimulated. And then you go down and you're like, I can barely get out of bed. And you're like, you know, I can't get the motivation.
Wow.
What's wrong with me? And so I'm like, there's something up here. And then the awareness was around it at the time. And I think I got served like a questionnaire and I filled it out and I was like, they're just trying to sell me something.
But sorry, so you had your first baby and then alarm bells were going off then that you were like, something's not right here?
Yeah, something wasn't always right. But something wasn't right my whole life. I always felt like I didn't really fit in, like particularly in the corporate world. Because it, like, you're expected to, you know, turn up on time and do things in a very structured way. Otherwise, it's wrong. And think back to the way I think about the mashed potatoes. Like, my cooking world is freedom. I can think whatever way I want.
If we go back to primary school, did you feel like you didn't fit in primary school?
Yeah. Like, I was very lucky. I had, it's funny, there's a story around it, like a build to it. So in primary school, I came in and I had like maybe 2 or 3 friends that we had been friends from when we were babies, right? Yeah. So it's almost like a sisterhood. And then you go through it. And then it was kind of fine. And then I got up to, I got up to about like, what class do you learn how to tell the time?
Oh, Jesus.
Like first class?
Maybe, yeah. Yeah.
From first class to fifth class, I couldn't read a clock. Like, I'm intelligent. Like, I've no qualms about saying that. But I'm a different kind of intelligent. I'm not a maths intelligence. Like, numbers, I'm absolutely number blind. But like, and then that's, my sister actually told me recently that that is a thing of ADHD.
Oh my God.
But nobody picked up on that. That would be picked up now.
Wow.
So I couldn't actually read a clock. My mind had a total blockage to it. Then we got sixth class and we used to do things called like maths challenges, or somebody would like put me under pressure, or like you'd be asked to like retain information and then like call it back. And I just couldn't. I just wasn't able to.
Oh my God.
And then that's, I'd be insane. Called thick. Like, I remember being called a genius, flodial amount of nothing. Why are you so sensitive? Would you stop crying? You need to toughen up.
But that's so like impactful on your own mind, like your self-esteem.
Yeah.
Like, you know, like anyone can make a mistake, or anyone can do something that's not what everyone else is doing in the class, and you're like, oh, there's something wrong with me. Yeah. And then like, but to have that there on your doorstep constantly.
Yeah, it's the constant, you know, and then it kind of chips away at your confidence. So like, only my dad worked an awful lot. Like, he could be gone for 2 or 3 weeks. So only from my mom, like, she was the support. So all through school, she was there and like getting me grinds and like, you know, help making sure I did my homework and all the rest. Right. And then there was other parts of my life that I could kind of unmask and just be myself in, right?
Where, like, did you feel most yourself when you were younger?
Oh, knee deep in glitter. Like, give me some sellotape and paint. And it's funny, my little daughter is like that now. I'm like, just let me get in with my hands and make something and make it in my own time, in my own way, and figure it out. And like, always, I just remember that little bubble, little sparkle of pride that comes up. I can feel it now.
Yeah.
Of when you have the space to just be yourself and do your own little thing.
Yeah.
Like, you know, it there's makes no right sense. Or wrong.
Yeah. And it makes total sense. So you then had your baby, and then you were like, okay, what made you be like, I need to
talk? It actually wasn't until the second baby.
Okay.
So I don't know.
Because that could have been masked easily as, oh, I'm just hormonal because I had a baby. Or it could have been postnatal depression, as in, you could mask that or think that in your own head, right?
Totally. And like, I did get postnatal on my second.
Okay.
And that's how it happened. But I do think that it was a mix, because it was COVID. So I do think it was a mix of COVID restrictions, not feeling like you had an out, postnatal, and then the ADHD on top of it, where I just couldn't cope anymore. And I needed, it was like my body was seeking to get back to that childhood feeling of like, creating something and all the rest. And there's a certain amount of, can I say this? There's a certain amount of shits that you leave behind when you become a mother, because you kind of just don't really have that much time anymore. Like, the Maria that you probably remember would never step outside without full face of makeup, right? But then all of a sudden you're 2 kids in and you're like, I just need to go to the shop and get milk. Right, we're doing this, we're going. And yeah. I could like have a big long coat on, have my pajamas on underneath, right? So over time, so I say from like when she was born up till about like 10 months, I was like, do you know what? Nobody cares. You might be bad at this, but you need it. You need something for yourself. We're going to order that tripod. And my cousin's husband said, Maria, on your next maternity leave, you have so many ideas. I guarantee you have one in your head around food. Will you just promise me that you'll do it? So it was coming up to 10 months. I had a year's maternity leave. I ordered it. Ordered that tripod. €15. Awkward picture later back to my mum, my sister, the Holy Trinity. And then I just said, look, do you know what? I don't have the confidence yet to put out my own videos and recipes. So I started the cookbook club. And that was like a shield of safety whereby I wasn't vulnerably putting out my own recipes. And then I started to dabble, and then I was just like, do you know what? I am Maria Hart. And we just went. I just dropped it and just started doing my cooking from my gut, cooking from my heart, authentically and consistently staying true to that. Now, I might not have always stayed consistent with my posting schedule, but I do believe that I'm consistent with my own brand of recipe and showing up in the world.
Yeah, and you can really see that on your page. You really can. It's absolutely brilliant. And we were talking there about trends.
Yeah.
What is your thoughts on trends on social media and like sticking to them and being like, I'm not relevant if I don't keep up with the trend on social media. What's your thoughts on that?
Oh, I think it's bollocks. Honestly, trends come and go. And like, what's that about? Like, I just don't think, like, an air fryer is just a mini oven. I get that they're handy, but they're annoying to clean. And like, you know what? You have to clean your oven once every few months. Don't hate me if you think I have to clean it more than that, but I don't. Get yourself an oven liner. So I just don't stick to them. I just feel like it's not me to do a trend. It's just because everybody else is doing it. Because I'm also partly like that person that if you tell me you have to do that, I will do the exact opposite. So I just don't pay any heed to them. I'm like, fair and well for everybody that follows trends and gets, you know, a great following off it. But I'm not necessarily out there for a following. I'm out there to bring my own recipes and ideas to the world, which makes me really happy. And is kind of infectious. And I mean, like, if somebody makes my mashed potato, somebody makes my lasagna or one of my recipes, whatever, and that's like their thing, and they get round the table with their friends or their family, or, you know, they have portions of it in the freezer and it makes them happy on a couch on a Thursday evening while it's raining outside. Like, that to me is all I need. Like, that's success to me, not necessarily followers. So, yeah, trends come and go, but like, I'm more important, and like, my people are more important. I don't know if that sounds right.
Yeah, no, it does. Yeah. And I get you. And I think people really see through that. And I think it's really hard to come across a page on social media that is authentic. Mm. I think we're all becoming cartoons. I say this to my friends all the time. Everyone's dressing the same, looking the same, sounding the same. And yeah, TikTok. Have you heard of TikTok?
No.
She hasn't heard of TikTok. Yeah, so there's this accent. I probably do it. We all do it, I think, occasionally. But we're all starting to sound the same. So it's like back in the day from years ago, like when everyone used to watch Nickelodeon or like kids watching YouTube, they have like an American accent. Yeah. So now there's another kind of accent that's out there now that's on TikTok that we're all sounding a little TikTok-y.
No way.
Yeah.
No. Well, there's no danger of that at all, right? So the girl from Mullingar, I'm embarrassed to say this. I don't know why. I live in South County Dublin. So I was in fucking Avoca in Monkstown the other day, and I wrapped up to the counter and I was like, right. I was like, you need to be more authentic with your content, Maria, in my head. I was like, right. I know that they had some venison there. I was like, I'm going to do a bit more like wild Irish game and kind of bring back some of the food. So I wrapped up to the butcher and I was like, in my take is Mullingar accent. It's just like, I was just like, here, do you have any wild rabbit?
Maria.
And he looked at me and he was just like, oh no, but there's some farmed rabbit in the thing. And I was like, oh yeah, sure, I suppose that'd be grand. And he was like, you're not from round here, are you? And I was like, oh yeah, no I'm not,
I'm from down the road.
Yeah,
I love that. So Maria, tell us about your you then went on to Virgin Media to be their TV their TV cook. Tell us about that.
This is the lesson here: if you want something, go for it. You're gonna be like, they'll just say no, or they might say yes, but like, you know, you're not going to be able to live with yourself if you really want something and you didn't try.
Yeah.
So, right. So fast forward maybe about a year into my Instagram page, and I've built up a lovely network of people, like fellow foodie friends. So shout out to Erica Drum, who is the most gorgeous woman. And I was like, Erica, will you meet me for a coffee? I was like, I would love even just to get onto the 6 o'clock show like once or twice, like, because then I'll have done it. And then I'll have ticked that box of something that I really, really want to do. So she was like, yeah, there's no space in the world for everyone. Here's the producer's number. I think you'd be really good. And I'd already been media trained because I was almost a judge on super garden. That's a story for another day.
Stop it.
Thank God okay. that didn't happen. Anyway, so it was media training. So I rang the producer and I was like, look, I really want to do this. I think I'll be great. And for once in my life, I actually like stood up for myself and asked. I was like, can I come in for a test? So like a screen test. And eventually, like I hounded them for like, I'd say about 2 months. Yeah. And then they got me in and I cooked. And I remember I put on like my like favorite white dress. And like, I love a Ruby Woo red lip. So like I put that on, had my hair like perfectly pinned and curled. And I was like, best foot forward now, Maria. And I went for it. And then they liked me and asked me back. And I've been on it like well over a year now. So it's kind of crazy.
It's insane. And I love seeing you on the show. It's so fabulous to see you on the show. And you so deserve to be on the show, no, for sure. You. No, you really do. So what's next? Like, what are your plans?
What are my plans?
Yeah.
I don't really know. I've got like, back to like when I started the page, I've got 1,000,001 ideas. I still have a bit of a fear of flight and like an imposter syndrome. Yes, I would like to take over the world. There's no reason why, like that's the exact reason why I have my website as mariahart.com and not .ie, because like there is the hope one day that like I will have a book. I will have a TV show.
Maria, I can't thank you enough for coming on my podcast. Thank you so much. You're going to be absolutely incredible and all the best with everything that you do.